I just have, this is one of my favorite texts. By the way, this is going to be our slogan for next week too. We're going to go all the way through Ephesians 10. I decided I could preach this 1 through 7 in one sermon and 8 through 10 next week. This is huge. You understand, this is a huge text for us. This is the ball game for Christians. This is what Paul says to the church. First of all, we were spiritually dead. And let's look at the meaning. And we talk about being spiritually dead, and you were dead in trespasses and sins. Dead in the Greek meaning unable to respond, powerless to do anything, helpless. We were dead apart from God. And that's about as dead as you can get. That means that we were dead to God. We were dead to the things of God. We were dead to anything that God had. And that's what we are. That's what we are in before we come to Christ. That's where we are. We look at this, and then I ask myself the question, what are the implications of the deadness? Well, he gives us some here, but I want to give you a verse that I want you to look at later. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit, that is, the Holy Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The reason that the world does not get the gospel message is not that we are presenting it incorrectly. The reason that the world does not get the gospel message is because the world is dead to the things of God. So when we are out there and we are sharing the gospel, it should not surprise us that dead people do not understand a living God, and that they do not understand that this life is given, and God will quicken them at some point, and the Holy Spirit is involved in this process. But here's where the world is, and so were we. We were dead. All those years, my grandmother... both grandmothers talked to me about Jesus. I was like, no. I remember. But it wasn't until I was confronted with a living God by the power of the Holy Spirit did I come to understand the fullness of what my grandparents were telling me. Why didn't I understand it? I was dead. I was dead apart from God. There was no communication. You talk about an internet being broken and down. That's what it was. There's no communication with God. We were spiritually dead. The question is, what killed us? Well, I can tell you, Paul gives it to us right here. The first is the word trespasses. That's what that word means, no trespassing. That means to go against what God said to do and therefore to do what God said not to do. That is in all of the commands of the Bible and particularly the reference to Jesus Christ. The second one is this, the word sins. We were dead in the way that we walked, and we were dead because, and you've seen this word before, because we have missed the mark of God's perfection. I was horrible. You know, during, I think it was seventh grade, I was in this program. I guess it was to keep you off the streets, and I decided I was going to try archery. Seventh grade, trying to hit that target. I was probably the worst at it. Matter of fact, a couple of the coaches said, you don't really need to do this anymore. But I would miss all over the place. The sin means missing the mark. Missing the mark of what? Missing the mark of God's holiness. There's not one person in this world, including me and including you, that can ever hit God's perfection without the Holy Spirit in our hearts. That's why the world, spiritually dead, transgressing the laws of God, everything that God ever spoke and who he is, his nature, the Son, the Holy Spirit, transgressing all of that, they are living in the sin and they are missing the mark of God's perfection. They are dead to God. That should make us much more understanding and sympathetic towards those who do not know Christ. I think about all the people that talk to me about Jesus Christ. I think of the nerd couple. I was in the Army in 1979. I was stationed in Bad Kreuznach, Germany. You guys maybe have heard this, but bear with me, senior moments abound. I was listening to my music when I was doing the laundry at the little laundromat there on base, small one. And I saw this couple kind of nerdy walk in, and they're sitting there folding their laundry, and they look at me and say, I'm cool. I'm real cool. I got my rock music playing. And the guy looks at me and he says, you ever heard of Christian rock music? No. Not sure I really want to because I got REO Speedwagon playing here. You know, it's funny how when you get saved, you go back and you realize that God used that couple just in that brief 5 minutes to plant a seed. They gave me a track, and I said I'd talk about it, or not talk about it. I'd go back and read the track, which I probably skimmed through it and then threw it in the garbage. But I remember that event in my life. They could have looked at me, and they could have said, because he's a sinner, look at that heathen. He's listening to that godless rock music, and he's you know, whatever. They could have said, I'm not going to share the gospel with him. But you know what they did? Because they understood that I was dead and did not understand the spiritual things, that they shared the gospel with me. And even though at the moment I did not receive that message, eventually later down the road, the things begin to click and I came to know Jesus Christ. Sympathetic, I think. It has to, but God. It has to be some form of sympathy towards those who are lost. Yes, we're not sympathetic towards their sin. We understand that. But sympathetic towards the person to realize they can't understand what we're saying because they are dead. So were we. Please remember that. Secondly, it manifests itself. Look at this. In which, verse 2, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. This is jam-packed. Manifested, first of all, the word walk speaks to our ethical behavior. How many of you watch TV shows? Just by way, watch all the shows. Yeah, you do. You think there's a lot of, can you see this in the world? The way that they live, that they accept these things? So were we. Let's be honest about it. All of us were like that. They live by worldly standards. That's what that word course means. That means they follow the crowd. Do you know Jesus said, narrow is the road that leads to heaven. Wide is the road that leads to what? And there's a lot of people on that wide road to destruction because they're on the wrong course. I think our job is to point them to the right course and then allow the Holy Spirit to revive their hearts, to bring them back from the dead so that they can experience but God. But guess who? That's Satan. You know who that is? That's Satan. The prince of the power of the air. That's who's leading. You do realize Satan loses this, right? You do realize at the end of this, and I peeked at the end in Revelation, we win. This is who's leading these people to live these godless lives. This is something else that's very interesting about this verse. Listen to this. The spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. Apatheia. Apatheia. Disobedience. Watch this, please. It's in there. I put the reference down here. If you're a Greek scholar, you can go check it out later. Brother Duane. To refuse to believe the Christian message. To refuse to be a believer, to reject the Christian message, to refuse to believe. those who are following Satan, who have trespassed the laws of God, who have lived a life of sin, missing his mark, and are following the course of this world, and who are being led by Satan, are those who have openly rejected the gospel message. That's what it is. This is where it is. And I'm going to tell you this. I'm not a Calvinist by any stretch. I believe everybody has a choice to receive the gospel message. Therefore, these people are in this condition because they refuse to believe. So here's what we need to do as a church. We need to start praying that the people who are living like this and have refused to believe the message, that they would believe the message. Wow. I do believe I had a choice. That day when the army chaplain shared with me the sinner's prayer, and you know what I feel about the sinner's prayer, you can pray it and still not be saved. It has to be a heart thing. But that day that I trusted in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I knew at that moment I had experienced now what I understand to be but God. And then it was like over the course of my life, God started pulling back these people in the laundromat, the man at the drugstore, all these people that had shared with me the gospel message. I tried to be sensitive to that myself. One day in Bible college, I had gone to the dentist office and was waiting in the dentist office, and there was a lady sitting there. And she had a cross around her neck. And I said, "You must be a Christian." And she said, "What?" And I said, "You've got the cross around your neck. You must be a Christian." She goes, "No." Wrong answer for me, I guess. I cleared the room out. Because I explained to her the gospel message. And I said, "Did you know that my Lord and Savior died on that cross? Paid for your sins in full?" I was really wiry, not like I am now. Back then, not only were we spiritually dead, but we were under God's wrath. Please hear this. Too often we do not hear about the wrath of God. Would you agree with that? When you watch television and some of these TV preachers, and they don't want to talk about God's wrath, but the reality is God is a wrathful God. He's going to judge the world someday. And Paul says right here that we were under that wrath. Look at verse 3. Among whom we all once lived, and this, by the way, is our actions, in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind. This was our past life. We had sinful passions, that is, to desire that which is not ours. It really comes probably from the idea of coveting. Could be coveting your neighbor's wife, could be coveting your neighbor's car, sinful passions. Sinful desires, that means these passions and desires kind of go together. In this case, it's probably more sexual than anything else, if you go back and look at the Greek. Thirdly, we had sinful thoughts. Notice he says here, of the mind. Peter says it this way in 1 Peter 4:2. So as to live for the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for human passions, but for the will of God. I would maintain, you guys still have some of this? Paul says, already not yet. Paul says, I struggle. I know this is the right thing to do. But somehow, I wind up doing the wrong thing, and I struggle between those two. However, this past is dead. This is dead. Because that's the old life. We do have a new life. And because we're still in the sarks, or the flesh, we still fight these things, but we're dead to that. I want you to realize here what we see. We see what I call the unholy trinity in this text. Satan, the world, and the flesh. Did you catch that? Led by the prince of the power of the air, that's Satan. When we walk according to the course of this world, that's the world. And then we battle the flesh, the sarx. That's in the Greek, by the way. Flesh is sarx. Satan, the world, and the flesh, the unholy trinity. Thank goodness we have the Holy Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God's wrath, it's fierce. You look at this and it says, and were by nature, that is basically who we are as individuals, children of wrath, that is we belong to a particular class. I don't care what people say, but I'm going to go ahead and say it. That, and Paul makes the argument in Romans, many other places, that we were born into sin. When you look at a child, and you see that you can tell the child, don't do this, and the child does it anyway. You can see that nature manifesting itself in that little child. Well, so that's kind of hard. No, that's Paul says that we are born, and Adam sinned, Adam and Eve sinned, and cast out of the garden, and that just kind of flowed through, and spiritually connected to all mankind, if you want to summarize what Paul says. Therefore, one man killed Adam, killed everybody spiritually dead. One man, Jesus Christ, revives those who will trust in him. Go read Romans. It's a good book. It's a good letter. Here's where we're at. Whoever believes the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him. Let me tell you why I think it's good for us. And when I say this, please don't take it wrong. I think it's good to be tender-hearted toward those who are lost. And it's easy, isn't it? Isn't it easy to get irritated with them? I see such grace in this text. This is how they live, but God. You do realize that God's wrath remains on him. They will not see life. They will not see eternal life. They will be separated from God for all eternity, and it will be a place of torment, punishment, and pain. How should that motivate us Monday morning when we encounter people who do not know Jesus Christ? How should that change our mindset towards them and also maybe our attitude towards them to be willing to share the gospel knowing that they will spend eternity separated from God? How should that change us tomorrow morning? Maybe even this afternoon. I see a lot of grace here. You know, God did not have to wipe out our past. God did not have to wipe out your past. Do you know that? I've seen the other side of it too, where God has wiped out the past, but the person living in the present can't let go of the past. And if you're in that state this morning, let me just tell you this. God has forgiven all of your sins. It's a new day. A new era has taken place. John 3:36. You have a choice. Everybody has a choice. You can choose life or reject it. You can choose to accept Christ or you can reject it. There's no middle ground. I think Watchman Nee was right here when he said it's either of God or not. But Christ made us alive with him. Notice here. But God. Love that. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us. Rich meaning large amount, mercy to show kindness. So God is merciful towards us in loving us. Put it this way, God says, I love you. Somebody said, Pastor Mike, sometimes your sermons are so simple a child can get it. Good. Do you know God loves you? Hey, do you guys know God loves you? Thank you. Romans 5:8. But God shows his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were dead and we were in our trespasses and sins, had rejected God, walking the way of the world, even though we were in that condition, God said, "Son, I want you to go down there and I want you to redeem those people who do not love me, who do not want me, who are living their own way. I want you to go down there. I want you to go to the cross. I want you to die, pay for their sins. Go to the grave, be raised from the dead, seat at the right hand of the Father, so that they can understand what it means to be dead and then be alive." And he did. I don't know if I could watch my child die on a cross for people who didn't love him or her in this case. I don't know how I could do that. One scene that I saw one day from it was a movie clip out of one of the videos, and it showed a top overview of Christ dying on the cross, and it showed a tear from heaven coming down and hit just below the cross. I don't know why he did it. I really don't know why he did it. Do you know why I say that? Because I know who I am. I know who I am. And I know what I was. And probably by world standards, I was probably an okay guy. Didn't rob anybody, didn't kill anybody. But you know what? I was dead. And then God brought me alive again. Christ's action. Notice verses 5 through 7. We're going to get through this a little quick. Even when we were dead, Paul repeats it for emphasis. Even when we were dead in our trespasses, that is to go against the laws of God, everything that God said, he made us alive together with Christ. Please catch this. Alive together with Christ. We live in combination with Jesus, folks. The day that you trusted in Jesus Christ, he helped you out of the spiritual grave. We were once spiritually dead, spiritually enslaved to Satan, the world, and the flesh, dead to the things of God, but God's hand reached down. Do you know why I think Paul wrote, and this is, these verses that Paul wrote, I mean, it's like, the sentence is long. Do you know why I think Paul had such a heart for God? Because do you know what Paul was before he came to know Christ? He was on the road to Damascus, ready to imprison and kill Christians, and God hit him on the road to Damascus. And what Paul had in that moment was a "but God" experience. Have you had that "but God" experience? And when you have, please listen to this. You live in combination with Jesus Christ. You don't live this life on your own. You don't do this life on your own. You live together with him. Now notice, Paul says here, by grace you have been saved. You know what that word means, and I'm going to get into it next week. So you have to come back. Experience divine salvation. You say you're going to preach a but God sermon and kind of leave that loose? Yes, I am. But I'll say this. Do you remember the moment that you got saved? Do you remember what happened in that moment? I knew. I knew at that moment I was saved. I couldn't tell you everything about it, but I knew at that moment something happened inside of me. And you know what that something that happened inside of me was? It was to experience divine salvation. Can't explain it to the world. By the way, let me say this. You are the best testimony to your friends and family of a changed life. and by grace you have been saved, and raised up with him. He repeats it. Notice that he made us alive together with Christ and raised us up with him. Here's Paul's already not yet theology. And raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places, that is heaven, in Christ Jesus. In other words, Paul says, yeah, we're still living here, but yeah, we're also in heaven with Christ. Christians do not live with one foot here, one foot up there, and the foot down here on a banana peel. Sorry. We live in combination with Christ. The day that you trusted in Jesus Christ, you were... How does Paul say this? I always say already, not yet, but maybe that doesn't even capture the essence of it. It means that our future is secure, if you want to put it that way. So you just got to remember that we live in combination with him. And the purpose, so that in the coming ages, that is, when the rest of us catches up to where we are. I guess maybe that's a good way to put it. It's kind of like I'm just waiting. When I say goodbye to this body, I say hello to Jesus. I don't even think there's a nanosecond, if you could say it that way. The moment you die, you go to be in the presence of Christ. And I'm waiting for that day. All of us are waiting for that day. You could say we're waiting for God. So that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches. There he goes and repeats the blessings of God, of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ. Let me take us back to this one more time. And this is the record, that God had given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. You can look out there, and it seems like you cannot see the end. Something that our message to the lost world has to include is the fact that when we trust in Jesus Christ, we gain eternal life. And the other thing that we have to include is all other roads do not lead to heaven. Only the road through Jesus Christ by way of the cross leads to heaven. But God, being rich and merciful and loving, saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I am found. And basically, I found that at the metaphorical foot of the cross, when I understood and God enlightened my eyes and enlightened my heart to help me understand that everything that everybody had ever told me about Jesus Christ was absolutely true. And on that day, Captain Burlingame led me in the sinner's prayer. I remember it like it was yesterday. And I remember that day knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt that I had experienced salvation. Satan might have messed with me and messes with all of us, but that moment has never been lost, because I know who I am, have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I committed to him until that day. When we're out there this week, do this. When we're out there this week in this world that's doing its own thing, keep this in your thought, but God. Lord, do a but God moment in their life. Let grace reign. Let truth reign. But let's get out there and share the gospel so that people can be spiritually brought back to life in Jesus Christ.